Okay, we'll be reading from the book of 1 John, chapter 2, verse 7 to 11. Dear friends, I am not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard. Yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and in you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother or sister is still in the darkness. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there is nothing in them to make them stumble. But anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. They do not know where they are going because the darkness has blinded them.
What is love? I looked at a survey online recently to see the answers that some kids gave to the question, what is love? Karen, aged 7, said, quote, "When you love somebody, your eyelashes go up and down and little stars come out of you." Bobby, also aged 7, said, "Love is what's in the room with you at Christmas if you stop opening presents and listen." Rebecca, aged 8, said, "When my grandmother got arthritis, she couldn't bend over and paint her toenails anymore. So my grandfather does it for her all the time, even when his hands got arthritis too. That's love." Don't you love how these kids describe love? It's actually pretty difficult, isn't it? What is love? Maybe a lot of Aussies these days would say, well, love is love. Love is free, love is accepting, love is something that everyone should give and receive. I mean, there's a lot to like about a definition like that, but it's pretty difficult to pin it down and say, what is love? For Christians, it's extra important that we know what love is, because the Bible tells us that Christian love is actually different to the love of everyone else in the world. In fact, our passage today, John says you can tell who is and isn't a Christian based on how they love. The problem is, I know lots of people who don't know Jesus, and they're very loving. Maybe more loving than me, it feels like sometimes. You probably know people like this too. So how can we say that being loving is a uniquely Christian thing? What's the difference between Christian love and the world's love? There's some big questions that we're going to be talking about this morning, and I hope as we study this passage together, we'll find some answers. So please keep your Bible open to 1 John chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 7 to 11. And the first thing that we see in this passage is that loving each other begins by experiencing Jesus' love. So loving each other begins by experiencing Jesus' love. John begins in verse 7 by talking about a command. He seems to be talking about the command that Jesus gave back in John 13. You might have heard this before. Jesus said, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another." And John here tells us two things about this command. He says it's an old command, and he says it's a new command. Have a look there. Let's read verse 7. First, he says it's an old command. He says, "Dear friends, I am not writing you a new command, but an old one which you've had since the beginning." John's saying you already know about this command to love each other, don't you? It's the command that all of us heard when we first became Christians. This is Christian ethics at its most basic. Just as Jesus loved us, so we should love each other. Why does John emphasize this? He doesn't want us to think that he's teaching anything new or fancy. There were actually false teachers harassing this church at the time, trying to tell them that being a Christian was really complex, really difficult. And John says, no, it's not rocket science, guys. I'm talking to you about stuff you heard on day one. I'm talking to you about stuff that all the kids sat at this kids talk this morning could tell you. Living as a Christian means loving each other. That's Christian Living 101, but it's also Christian living at a PhD level. So it's an old command, but then in the very next verse, verse 8, John almost seems to contradict himself. See what he says next? Yet, I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and in you because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. So why does John say that this old command is also new? Well, he doesn't want us to think that because it's old, it's outdated or boring. Not at all. The command to live is alive with power. It's alive because its power comes from Jesus. Jesus said, love one another just as I have loved you. In other words, Jesus says, I've become the benchmark of what love looks like. I'm the definition of love, and I'm the source of love. My love is the basis for your love. So, do you want to know what love looks like? Look at me, says Jesus. Look at who I love. People from every race, people from every walk. I love the people no one else wants to love. And look at how much I love them. I don't just sort of give them a bit of loose change from my wallet. I lay down my life for them. In the next chapter, chapter 3, it says, this is how we know love, that he laid down his life for us. It's the ultimate act of sacrificial love, isn't it, to die for someone? And yet this sacrifice is even more amazing when we realize that the person dying is the innocent Son of God, the most glorious, powerful person in existence, and he's dying for me. His enemy, a spiritual criminal, a destitute beggar. This is love. God pours out his wrath on Jesus instead of me. My sins are washed away, and I'm welcomed into God's family as his child. But the love of Jesus isn't just amazing because of who he gives it to and how much he sacrifices. It's also amazing because of what his love is achieving. You see there in verse 8, it says, the darkness is passing, and the true light is already shining. Did you see the sunrise this morning? It was just beautiful. It was quite a slow one, lots of pink in the fog. The love of Jesus appears over the horizon like that first beam of golden light. And then as it climbs higher in the sky, slowly the shadows and the fog start to melt away. That's what's happening in our world right now. Through his love, Jesus is actively fighting the darkness of our world. All the evil, all the pain, the injustice and the suffering. The love of Jesus is overcoming these things more and more. So, this command to love each other. Yeah, it's an old command. We've heard it before. But this old command is always relevant, it's always radical, it's always powerful. Love is always new, love is always in fashion. The radical love of Jesus is making all things new. Now, why does John start here? Why does he start his teaching about love by telling us that the true light is already shining? Well, he doesn't want us to misunderstand where love comes from. He doesn't want to misunderstand what love really is. Remember, we began by asking what makes Christian love different from the love that we see in the world? Now we're beginning to see the answer, aren't we? Christian love comes from God. 1 John 4 says God is love. And that means that any definition of love that isn't rooted in God is simply inadequate. You simply can't even claim to know true love if you don't know the source of all love? Now, there are still people all around us in the world seeing glimpses of love, aren't there? Like when you see a father gently holding his daughter's hand. When you see a young couple staring deep into each other's eyes. When you see a frail old lady spoon-feeding her husband in his bed. And yet these are only the faintest reflections of what love really is. It's like comparing a stick figure drawing to a real human. It's like comparing a puddle to an ocean. The primary difference between Christian love and the world's love is not the actions that we perform, but the relationship we have with God. Let me say that again. The primary difference between Christian love and the world's love is not the actions that we perform, but the relationship we have with God. True love comes from God, knows God, delights in God, acts out of obedience to God. It's a response to the love of Christ. It's ultimately an act of worship to God when a Christian loves someone else. Worldly love, on the other hand, it's driven by me. I'm the authority. I choose what love looks like. I get to define it. I choose who I'll love. And I choose when I will withdraw my love from someone. Christians don't have that kind of freedom. We are under the authority of the King of Love. And he defines what love is and he commands us to do it. But the wonderful news of the gospel is that he also empowers us to do it. I remember as a kid, I used to collect glow-in-the-dark stars. I was on the bottom bunk, so I had this kind of ceiling right above me, and I put all these stars and planets there. And then every night as I went to bed, I would turn on my clamp lamp, and I would charge up all of these stars until they were glowing in this beautiful constellation. And then about 5 minutes later, in the dark, they would all have faded again. In and of themselves, they couldn't produce any light. They were only really reflecting the light from the lamp, weren't they? And John wants us to realize we're a bit like those stars. We need the love of Jesus to charge us up before we can shine. We need to realize that love isn't first and foremost something that we go out and do. It's something that we receive, something that we experience through relationship with Jesus. And that means also that if you're struggling to love someone, maybe someone here at Riverbank right now, you're going to need more than just sort of trying harder and gritting your teeth. Really, the only way we can love each other is by going back to Jesus first. When we go back to Jesus, we see him hanging on the cross, dying for both of us, for all of us, for me and for you. We're equally lost, equally undeserving, and we're equally loved by the Father, aren't we? We're adopted by the same Heavenly Father. We're saved by the blood of the same Savior, and we're indwelt now by the same Spirit. How, after all of that, can we turn around and say, well, Jesus, I accept your unconditional love towards me, thank you very much, but I am not willing to show that same love to my brothers and sisters. If your glow-in-the-dark star is not shining as bright as it used to, you need to come close to the lamp again and experience the heart-softening love of Jesus in your life. This is the first thing we see in our passage. Loving each other begins by experiencing Jesus' love. But John is going to go on now to say that loving each other proves that we've experienced Jesus' love. That's our second point. Loving each other proves that we've experienced Jesus' love. Have a look there. Let's read verses 9 and 10. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister is still in the darkness. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light. In other words, when we obey the command to love one another, we prove that we really know Jesus. We prove that his light is really shining in our hearts. And John wants to use these words to encourage us. He's writing this letter, remember, to Christians to say, you're saved. I want you to be assured of that. Last week, we looked at one of the marks of a true believer. We looked at the obedience test. That knowing God changes how we live. We start dealing with our sin and we start living in obedience to God. This week, John's expanding on that. And he's particularly saying that knowing God will make you a profoundly loving person. You could call this the social test or the love test. And notice, he talks specifically about love for our brothers and sisters. Christians. Why is this test particularly about how we love our Christian family? Why isn't it just about how we love all people? Well, think about this. There is something very unique about Christian love in churches. Because you didn't get to choose who's sitting next to you right now. We are saved into God's family, and it's a family of his choosing. And we are all different, and I suspect many of us would not have close relationships with each other if it was not for our common faith in the Lord. And that is why John says that if you are loving and caring and sacrificing for this odd bunch of believers that God has put around you, that is a proof that you've been born again. That's a proof that God is changing your heart. Kids, I wonder if you've ever done that science experiment where you take some flowers and you put them in a vase of water which has food dye in it. We used to do this with white carnations. And I remember having this jar of blue water. And after a day or two, the flowers would soak up the water and the white petals would turn blue. In a similar way, if we have been soaked in the love of Jesus, it will show in the way we live. And so it's appropriate, I think, that we stop here and reflect on our lives. So ask yourself, as I ask myself, do I love God's people here at Riverbank? Has my care and concern for them been growing? Am I investing in relationships with people who are different to me? Or do I selfishly just seek out the people who I like, who are like me? Do I look out for those who are new or left out and seek to make an effort to connect with them? When I see someone at Riverbank who's struggling, do I seek to help? Am I willing to be involved in a growth group or a growth partnership? Not just because of what I can get out of it, but so that I can be there for others. Do I go to growth group with that goal? Am I volunteering and serving in the life of this church? Or am I just a Sunday seat warmer? A consumer, even? Do I sacrifice my own time, my own money to bless others? Am I willing to let go of my rights and forgive that person who really hurt me? So that the church can grow in unity? Or do I prefer to hold on to my grudges and hurts? Well, they can be tricky questions to answer, can't they? Maybe as I read them out, you think of all the times you didn't love someone like that. Said the wrong thing. Hurt someone. Maybe you think about that particular person who you are really struggling to love right now. And the reality is that every single one of us are sinners, aren't we? As Christians, we've been made new. We haven't yet been made perfect. And so we shouldn't expect our love to be perfect. We shouldn't expect that we'll never be frustrated by others. will never hurt others. If you're looking for a church like that, keep moving. You haven't found it. Christian love's not perfect. But it's unique and it's beautiful because it is marked by forgiveness and grace. One of the most beautiful things about the Christian community is that we stick with each other. We apologize for our failings. We let go of grudges. We seek reconciliation. I think that's a mark that we're not seeing a lot of in the world right now. Something that should make the church look very beautiful. So as you consider whether you are really a Christian, whether you can pass the love test, remember, love won't be easy, it won't be perfect, but your love will be genuine and it will be growing. And slowly but surely you will see that blue food dye is soaking into the petals and they are slowly turning from white to blue. There is a flip side to this test though. Because if you sat there right now and that was a bit uncomfortable and you don't know that you can see almost any fruit of love growing in your life, it's time to ponder whether you really know Jesus, the source of all love. This might look like the person who's often bitter and frustrated by church life. They're primarily focused on other people's problems. They're quick to criticize and slow to roll up their sleeves. Or it could be someone who's quite easygoing and disinterested. And they're content to come to a service and then hurry out the doors. Not really invested in what happens. Treating the church as a place to take, but not to give. And if you recognize those fruits in your life, they could be a sign that you don't actually have a living, loving relationship with Jesus. And you see what happens to these people in the end. It's there in verse 11. Anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. They do not know where they're going because the darkness has blinded them. Maybe these people eventually drift away from the church, away from God, never to be seen again. Or perhaps they stay and they cause great harm. I read about an elder recently in a church in California. He committed adultery. When the elders came to him and confronted him with this, he refused to repent. Eventually, the church had no choice but to excommunicate him, to kick him out. And at that point, he sued the church for defamation of character. If you're concerned by the lack of love in your heart, remember the only fix is Jesus. He loves you. Go to him, repent, and he will change you. But friends, most of all, this passage is here to encourage us, to reassure us. And so I want to reassure and encourage you this morning. I see much love in Riverbank. And I praise God for it. I see love expressed not just in words, but in actions. Love that's sacrificial and generous. Meals being shared. Friendships, unlikely friendships, being formed. I see growth groups caring deeply for each other. And we should be encouraged because our love is a proof that we know Jesus. And now we just keep walking in love, don't we? Verse 10 says that if we do that, love will keep us from stumbling. Love will guide us. And so if you're facing a decision right now of how to act, remember the command to love. If you don't know how to deal with someone right now, remember the command to love. If you're looking around after church today and wondering who to talk to, remember the command to love. If you're struggling at home with your kids, your parents, your spouse, remember the command to love. We began this morning by asking, what is love? Is love when your eyelashes go up and down and little stars come out of you? Is it what's in the room at Christmas when you stop opening presents and listen? Is it painting your wife's toenails when she has arthritis? Is it just accepting everyone and doing your best to be kind? We've seen today that love is bigger than all of these things because love begins with God. He defines it. He shows us what it looks like through Jesus. And he transforms us to be people of love, transforming this hodgepodge community of people into a close-knit group full of surprising, sacrificial, steadfast love. And we'll finish with this. Imagine if this is what Riverbank came to be known for in Lonnie. Imagine if that became our reputation in the community. You said, I go to Riverbank, and they go, oh, isn't that the church where the people really love each other? The church where guests walk in and they say, wow, this church is so caring and welcoming and inclusive and generous. Look at how they welcomed us in. Look at how they had us in their homes. Look at how they've involved us in their lives. And look at how they don't just love when it's easy. Look at how they forgive each other and stick it out for the long haul. So many people in the community around us have a very, very faint understanding of what love really is. Many of them maybe have never experienced true love. Imagine the impact we could have in our community as we show them the love of Jesus and tell them that Jesus loves them too and wants to draw them into that love and into our family here. Don't underestimate the power of Jesus' love. It melts darkness. It saves souls. It changes lives. Riverbank, the true light is already shining. The darkness is passing. Let's let that be the wind in our sails as we continue on our mission to be a people who love God, love our community, and love the church. Let's pray and ask God to help us with this now. Lord, you are love, and how remarkably you have loved us. Thank you for the gift of your Son, that he took your wrath, that he bore our sins, that he's given us life, adoption into your family, liberation from sin, hope in death, life forever with you, and you've put us in this family, this church, a place where we can belong, where we can love and be loved. Lord, we pray that you would transform us more and more into a beautiful community that reflects and shines your love to each other and to the world around us. We pray that as we do that, your light would shine brighter than ever before, that your glory would increase. Lord, that the world would come to know that you are love. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.